Hi, this is Shaylin Hudson. I make candles for Scene Creations, and the price is anywhere from $3 to $8. If you'd like to contact me about purchasing any, you could call me at 907-401-1095.
You have a Facebook page? No? Welcome to Horror After Hours, coming to you from the Naughty Guy Studio. I'm your host, the Naughty Guy, Adam J. I have Bruce joining me tonight, and we want to talk about another great slasher movie. This one from 2001. This is Valentine.
Yes, Valentine. I saw a trailer for this, I think, when I went to Castaway in 2000.
Wow.
So Castaway. I went to Castaway and enjoyed the movie, but back then you could just start looking at, like, hey, look at Apple release has all these trailers you could watch, you know? Well, it's not like now where it goes to Twitter instantly and everybody shares it, or Facebook.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure I was at Castaway, and then it's just like, oh, the tone kind of changed on this trailer, and then it just... like, oh shit, a fucking horror movie. Valentine, wow.
Right up our alley, right?
Yeah.
This was directed by James Blanks. They had a budget of $10 million and brought in about $36.7 million at the box office.
I wonder if they considered that a success.
I think they said it was a mild success because they were expecting a lot more.
The critics hardly ever like horror movies. Like,
rarely ever.
Like, just not Us. Us was a good horror movie, though. That it wasn't critically panned. But the one before, Get Out, actually won an Oscar.
That was a really good one. I liked that one better than Us.
Yeah, did you?
Yeah.
But yeah, obviously the critics didn't like this one. It was...
yeah, they really chopped this one up, didn't they?
Yeah. It came out... in July. Actually came out on my sister's birthday on DVD.
Oh wow, cool.
Yeah. That's when I got to see it.
And I didn't see it until after you let me borrow it.
Yeah. Yeah, Kelly bought it.
Yeah.
Kelly was over here and I said, hey man, see what movies are coming out. He said, oh hey, I grabbed this one. I was like, oh fuck yeah. Put it in. I was like, I'm gonna let Adam borrow it. He's like, yeah, okay.
Oh man. Okay, so I'm going to give a quick rundown on the movie here. Okay, at a junior high school Valentine's Day dance in 1988, San Francisco, Jeremy Milton is an outcast student. Asks the four popular girls to dance, and they all spitefully...
One of them laughs in his face.
That was Paige.
Yeah.
And she turns out to be the sexy debutante later on.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they were all bitches to him. The only one who said maybe later is the young Kate.
Yep. And she seemed like she didn't want to hurt his feelings.
Yeah, and she was, you know, genuine even then.
Yeah.
Their overweight friend Dorothy accepts Jeremy's invitation, and they proceed to secretly make out underneath the bleachers. When the school bully, Joe... whatever his name is.
Joe Bully.
Yeah. And his friends discover them making out. Dorothy claims that Jeremy sexually assaulted her, and then Joe and his friends publicly strip and severely beat Jeremy, and his nose starts bleeding under the distress. It is later revealed Jeremy was expelled and eventually transferred to a reform school.
Now, what happened was she was into the making out,
mm-hmm.
and then... the fucking assholes started making fun of both of them, calling her, was it Fatty or Piggy or something?
I think it was Fatty.
And then, and Pervert.
Yep.
And then she pushed him away and was like, he forced himself on me. Like, what pervert forced this? And it's just they're very caveman-ish in how they're talking.
Yeah.
And then, like you said, they beat the shit out of him. They yep. strip him down to his fucking underwear in front of everybody
yep.
at the junior high dance.
And because of all this, you know, his nose starts bleeding, which actually really plays into the movie quite a bit later on.
Yeah.
So 13 years later, in 2001, Shelley is now a medical student at UCLA, is at the morgue one evening studying for her medical exam. After receiving a vulgar Valentine's card in her locker, she is attacked by a man in a trench coat wearing a Valentine's... wearing a Cupid mask. She is cornered in a cooler used to store cadavers, where she attempts to hide in a body bag, but the killer finds her before slitting her throat.
I got a question.
Go for it.
The Valentine's Day card is one of those kind of cards that you would open up and you could interact with it, kind of, you pull it and then it does something, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And when she pulls on whatever it is, when she opens it up, like a fucking knife goes across the throat.
Yep.
It's like this very intricately detailed Valentine's Day card.
Yep, and it's like that all the way through the entire movie.
Yeah, every one of the cards. Even yeah, okay. Yeah, we'll get to the other ones too.
As he slits her throat, the killer's nose begins to bleed.
I got a question. So he's stabbing the body bags, right?
Mm-hmm.
When he's wearing the mask, was it a full head or just the 80s one that we grew up with that they had?
Pretty sure it was a full head.
Because at the end, it's a full head.
Yeah.
And then, through, like, you see different masks, and it's like the 80s ones we had.
I'm going to have to look at that again, because yeah. I thought it was a full head all the way through.
The end, it is.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's what caught my eye, but...
Okay.
Yeah.
Good observation.
Yeah.
So at Shelley's funeral, Kate, Lily, and Paige, and Dorothy are all questioned. They admit to not having seen their friend in some time, as she had moved from San Fran to L.A.
Yeah.
The other girls also receive obscene cards, all signed J.M.
Yep. And when it gets to the other girls, like, what caught my eye... This movie came out 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. Next month it came out. Now that meant it probably filmed September, October-ish, right?
Yep.
Anyways, so they're going on these dates, and I would say these girls are too hot to be going on these types of dates, but I'm a hot guy. I'm a hot guy, and I do online dating. Anyways, I'm kidding. But I digress. So... What caught my eye was they were doing videotape dating.
Yeah, and this was old school, man.
Yeah, and like one of the hot girls, like she pushes play on it, and he was like, "Hey, I'm so happy that you requested one of my tapes." And I was like, "Damn, that's fucking dated as fuck, man."
Yeah, definitely.
And then it cross-pollinates with the start of online dating.
Yep.
So I found that very interesting. 20 years ago, it was someone told me, "Hey man, you'd be online dating." What? Fuck you. If someone told me 10 years ago, fuck you. You know? But now, it's just crazy though, man. It's like I said, when the guy said, "I'm glad you requested my tapes," I was like,
first of all, he said tapes.
Yeah, and I was like, did I hear that right? Holy shit. And yeah, it's just fucking nuts, man.
And you look at it now, and it's all, you can do everything with your phone.
Everything. Recording this podcast on the phone.
Yep.
You could take some pretty fucking cool pictures with your phone when you're out and about. You could take pictures and have the stutter film effect on it.
Yep. You can do the slow motion.
Yeah, you could do the slow motion. You could FaceTime family and friends.
Yep.
You could text.
You got Twitter, Facebook.
Yeah.
You got Skype. Zoom.
Connections, man. Yeah. It's just amazing. But it brought me back to when it just brought me back, like, in 2001, people were still like, "Oh, yeah, videotapes. Yeah, thanks for your videotape. I'm glad you requested my tape."
And you think about, what was the internet back then? This was probably the time of dial-up yet.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It definitely was, man. It definitely was, because... I mean, how many times did I try to get a hold of you?
Yeah, I was always on the internet.
And I couldn't call you because it was always busy.
A lot of the times I was actually playing video poker, but online poker.
Is that what you're playing?
Yeah.
Nice.
I actually won a few tournaments, which is awesome, but
yeah,
they have this way of not letting you cash out until you lose a certain amount. Or they take it all.
Oof. Sounds like a scam.
It is.
But anyways, it was just crazy that they were doing this in this movie.
Yeah. So let's get back to the film.
Yeah.
As the girls attend the exhibit of Lily's artist boyfriend, Max, they meet Campbell's bitter ex-girlfriend, Ruthie, who accuses him of being a total con artist.
Did you recognize who the artist was? The douchebag?
I actually did not.
He was in... I think he was in that movie called Empire Records.
I haven't seen that in
a long time. It's an overrated cult classic. And then he was in the last few seasons of CSI Miami.
I never did quite get into anything but the original CSI.
Oh, okay. But that, I was like, damn, I recognize him because I hated his accent. Because it sounded like he was always forcefully trying to talk like this.
Very douchebaggy.
Yeah. And he played a fucking perfect douchebag in this movie, by the way.
So Lily becomes lost at the exhibit, and the killer appears, who proceeds to shoot her repeatedly with arrows until she falls several floors into a dumpster.
So he shoots her through these TV screens, right?
Yep.
Just happens to be by a fucking exit door.
That's wide open, by the way.
By a fucking rail. And the dumpster's open.
The dumpsters are always open in these movies.
Yeah, and she falls right into it.
And, of course, as she falls in, the
top closes. Slams. Yeah.
Oh, man. When they have not heard from Lily, the others assume she is in Los Angeles on a work trip.
Yeah.
Upon contacting the police, they agree that the culprit can only be Jeremy Melton.
Yep.
Dorothy admits to her friends that she lied and that Jeremy never attacked her, and she ruined his life by causing him to be beat up and sent to the reform school.
Yep.
Meanwhile, Kate's neighbor Gary breaks into her apartment to steal her underwear, put on her fucking clothes.
I got it. Okay, so let's go backtrack on this guy. It's very... I didn't like this part because it's too over the top. You want to date Kate?
I want you to be my mate, Kate.
And he kept making his voice like this, Kate. And I was just like, dude, you're trying too hard for a fucking horror movie that is clearly trying to go for some comedy, you know?
Trying, yeah.
Like, they were trying. I don't want to say they were trying to go the Scream route because they weren't doing the same stuff that Scream was doing. They weren't referencing movies or anything.
Yeah.
But they definitely wanted some comedy in there, which is fine. But like I said, he kept saying, you want to date Kate?
Yeah. That,
be my mate, Kate.
Like you said, it all felt really forced there.
And then, and this is where it comes, you go back some more to the beginning when I asked you about the mask. The whole reason she's outside by the elevator is because her front door is open. She hears a pinging. And she goes, walks, then the elevator door is not shutting. And then she picks up a Cupid mask from their dance. And that's right. Cupid mask was just the face cover.
Just the face cover.
It wasn't a full head. It wasn't a full head.
You're right, yep.
So, and she picks it up, turns around, and this guy's like, date, Kate, mate. And I was like, dude, okay, whatever. Get the fuck off my screen. Now, up to this point, where you're coming in with this killing part... He is, like I said, it's really over the top. He's putting on her fucking leggings. And I don't think the killer intended to kill this guy. I thought he wanted to try to kill Kate.
Yeah, and that's exactly what it looked like because yeah. The killer even stopped when he saw the guy.
Yeah. I'm not well.
Let's talk about this.
Yeah. Take it easy. I'm not well.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
And then obviously he gets killed.
Yep, the killer catches Gary in the act and hits him with a hot iron. Then proceeds to brutally beat him to death with that iron.
Yeah.
Man, it was just vicious.
Yeah.
As Valentine's Day approaches, Dorothy is planning a party at her family's estate. On the morning of a party, the killer murders Campbell with an axe in the basement.
So Campbell, if anybody watched 90210, he was in the last 2 to 3 seasons of 90210. First as Kelly Taylor's boyfriend, and then they just kind of pushed him. Anyways, he's in this movie. It turns out he's this fucking huge con guy, right?
Yep, he really is the con man.
And he's staying at Dorothy's house. Now, this is like a huge, it looks like a triple-decker mansion is what it looks like to me. But, and a huge but here, it fucking goes downstairs to where the lights flicker like it's a haunted house. Like it's a scary maze because everything has to flicker in this movie.
Yeah, it did.
And then, so he's trying to relight the fucking...
pilot light.
He's trying to relight the pilot light. And he was like, fuck what, I'm on the staff. You know, he's like super pretentious. I would say he's probably a good lay, but he fucking clearly isn't in the scene that we see him. Because Dorothy's like, it's not a big deal. And trust me. Whenever that's said to you and you're laying in bed with a woman, it's a fucking big deal because she's going to go get dicked the fuck down by somebody that could do it right. Now, to this movie, he gives her a necklace, right? And then, I don't know what the fuck he's trying to do. Trying to do something, goes down like the pilot light, and then like the fucking killer comes out and fucking whacks him in the back with this fucking axe, like, and he's like, it's like, okay, dude, bye.
Well, you're kind of thinking, fuck, finally he's gone.
Yeah.
Because he really was a jackass in the movie.
Yeah.
Just before he's asked to relight that pilot light, too, he's trying to empty out her bank account into his, remember?
Yeah. And he was pissed off because he couldn't do it.
Yep. Okay.
And he even said, fixing this pilot light's at least worth a Porsche.
Yeah, what a douchebag.
Yeah.
The others assume that he simply left Dorothy, angering her.
Yeah.
Dorothy believes that they are jealous and still look at her as the fat girl of the group, which clearly is not true.
No, she's just got some issues.
Yeah, she's a head case.
Yeah.
After coming to the party to confront Dorothy with the truth about Campbell, Ruthie is thrown through a shower window by the killer, who then impales her through the neck on the glass from the glass door.
I got thoughts on this.
All right, go
shockingly.
For it.
So, she confronts Dorothy and was like, where'd you get that necklace? He stole that from me. Which he did. But she is pissed off. Somehow finds his fucking room and starts rummaging through shit.
Yep.
And Dorothy gave him like a Rolex, right?
I think so, yeah.
She finds it and put it on her wrist and you can see like, okay, fuck this guy, I'm going to take it. Then the killer shows up and she goes on the run. She ends up in like the sauna room. Like I said, this is like a huge fucking house.
Yep.
And this fucking douchebag just randomly showed up and had this like, I'm so embarrassed to even have to be here and ask this, you know? Shut the fuck up, you wink.
I like that.
Yeah, and she hides in, like, the sauna room. I was like, holy shit, does he, like, turn the heat up and kill her? And I might be mixing up my horror movies because that didn't happen. Mm-hmm. And then killer looks, walks away. And she's still looking there breathing. Then he comes back again. And he looks again. And you're like, holy shit, he saw her. And then he walks away. And at this point, she thinks she's in the clear. And then she's not. And he fucking comes barging in. Fucking throws her through the window. The glass fucking window for the shower, right?
Yep.
And then you see two fucking pieces of glass up.
Just happened to break off perfectly.
Perfectly. And I was like, holy shit, that's where her eyes are going to go. And it wasn't her eyes, but I was like, that's where shit, did I forget this? And it's like, and she's dead. Now, nobody's fucking going anywhere. They're all kind of congregated into one spot. And I was just like, yeah, it's kind of convenient, but whatever. Sorry, go ahead.
No problem.
Yeah.
At the party, Paige is attacked and trapped in a hot tub by the killer. The killer impales her in the shoulder with an electric drill before throwing it into the water, electrocuting Paige.
So, I got thoughts on this.
Yes.
So, she hears something, she gets out, and she does the whole thing like with Scream made fun of. Who's out there?
Yeah.
You might as well come out here and investigate a strange noise or something.
Exactly.
And she does. Killer shows up, ends up back. She, I don't know if he threw her or what. I think he threw her in the hot tub,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he did.
And then there was a glass covering that he threw over. And it's just like you could see her panicking. And then, of course, he has a drill. Hmm. Or he picks up a drill that's plugged in. Because why not? And he just quickly starts drilling, to try to get her. Then he finally gets her, and she grabs her shoulder, right? Mm-hmm. And then he opens up the door and just throws it in, fucking kills her.
Yep. It's over like that.
That's that.
The party disintegrates when the power cuts out because of Paige being electrocuted.
Yeah.
Dorothy and Kate argue over who the killer really is.
Yeah.
Kate claims that Campbell could be a suspect because they do not know anything about him or where he is.
And then she blames fucking...
accusing Adam.
Yeah.
Kate's recovering alcoholic on-off boyfriend, who is now a journalist. Played by David Boreanaz, by the way.
This guy, I got some thoughts. So... yes, I'm a straight hetero man, but I just don't buy David Boreanaz as this fucking beefcake. He has a fucking caveman brow. Okay? Like, I just think he's a fucking ugly dude. So I'm not buying it. I'm out. I'm not fucking saying you gotta choose my blubbery ass. I'm just saying I don't fucking buy him as this fucking... maybe he's got a fucking 10-inch cock and he's fucking touching lungs while he's fucking plowing ass. I don't know. Maybe that's the case. But I'm just fucking like, okay, dude, I'm out, man. And he's keep saying, I'm not a drunk. I'm 3 weeks sober. Well, at the fucking party, she catches him fucking downing.
Taking shots.
Like chug-a-lugging, man. Like fucking, like this is his fucking jam, you know?
Like Riz taking shots.
Yeah, it's like, look at the bubbles. Yeah, I'm a fish.
Exactly.
So, I'm just not buying it. Anyways, go ahead, man. I'm sorry.
After being told by Lily's boyfriend that she did not arrive in Los Angeles as planned, Kate realizes she is also probably dead and calls a detective assigned to the case.
Oh. I didn't cut you off, but...
no, that's what you're here for, bro.
This detective.
The douchebag detective.
I don't even want to say douchebag. I want to say fucking sexual predator.
Perfect, yes.
Because he fucking blatantly hits on Denise Richards' character.
Yep.
Tells her to stay. And he's like, what are we going to do about this? And she's like, about what? The sexual tension.
Between us.
Between us. What are we going to do about this? And he's clearly swinging for the fences. Because I hate saying fucking out of, like, I'm out of your league. No, man, it's just people have taste, but it's just, like, the person that they make Denise Richards out to be, she clearly thinks I'm out of your league.
Exactly.
And he's a short, old, bald guy. Old, bald cop.
And an asshole to boot.
Yeah. And then he does something that I just was like, dude, what? That would never happen.
He had his hand on her leg, for one.
Yeah. Well, not only that, but, like, he called up Dorothy, I think, right? Mm-hmm. And was like, hey, yeah, this we got this person of interest, and we're going to question him now. Cops would never do that.
Yeah.
They would tell you afterwards, hey, there was this person of interest, but we questioned him, and his alibi checked out. Wouldn't happen beforehand. Anyways, go ahead.
Oh, man. After dialing the number, she follows the sound of a ringtone outside the house and discovers the detective's severed head in the pond.
Just floats the fuck up.
Yeah. She picks up something and then the head pops up in
So it must have been attached, huh?
I'm guessing that's how they worked it.
I mean, that's what we're supposed to believe.
Yeah.
Okay.
Kate becomes convinced that Adam is actually Jeremy disguised by reconstructive surgery.
Yep.
And goes back to the house only to find Adam waiting for her.
Yep.
To her surprise, he asks her to dance. Kate becomes frightened, knees him in the junk, and runs.
And then they try to play off the whole thing because her friend was like, what if it's him? And she's like, oh my God, it's you. And he went, it's me.
Blatantly.
It's me.
I'm right here.
Yeah, and I was just like, huh?
I'm still here.
Yeah, it's me.
So she runs through the house, discovering all of the corpses of Paige and Ruthie.
Yep.
She locates the gun.
Yep.
But the Cupid masked killer jumps out from the darkness and sends them both tumbling down the staircase. The killer arises, Undertaker style.
Yeah.
And is shot to death by Adam.
Immediately.
Yep.
No questions asked.
No waiting, no nothing, just...
No. It's in this scene that I was like, wait a minute, that's not the mask that was being used before.
This is correct.
Yeah.
As a shocked and confused Kate apologizes profusely, Adam pulls the mask off to reveal the killer was actually Dorothy. Adam forgives Kate, explaining that childhood trauma can lead to lifelong anger.
And if you don't act on it, then it's going to overtake you.
Yep. And some people are eventually forced to act on that anger, referring to Dorothy. As Kate and Adam wait for the police to arrive, they hug, and Adam says he's always loved her. And moments later, when Kate closes her eyes, his nose begins to bleed.
And the movie ends.
Revealing that he is, in fact, Jeremy Melton, and the true killer.
Now, one thing...
Framing the dead Dorothy for his crimes.
He'd always say, I always loved you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just, like I said, I didn't like the fact that they had the different mask and the bait and switch. It just was like, wait, what? Okay.
Now, the first few times I watched the movie, I was like, you can see when the kills are happening, a lot of that is done by a man's form.
It's a man, baby.
And, you know, toward the end, you see it's actually Dorothy in the mask.
Well, you can clearly see the difference in the body size immediate. Yes,
exactly. But what I was saying is most of them you can actually see just by the shape of the body, the shoulders and everything.
How
you
big?
Can see it's a dude.
Yeah.
And they want you to believe that it's actually Dorothy, and then you see the blood dripping out of his nose, which took me a few times to understand what the fuck is going on here.
Yeah, so, okay. Are we at the rating part?
Yeah, okay, so this was another fun movie for me.
Okay.
And it really kept me entertained with an all-star cast and having to guess who the killer really was. Mm-hmm. And, you know, of course, I've seen this movie.
A lot. Yeah.
But this one also had a really good music score. And Bruce and I, we talk all the time about how important music and scoring the movie are for setting the pace and the atmosphere. So I personally give Valentine 2001 4 chainsaws out of 5.
I'm going to go 2.5. And my meaning behind that is I couldn't get past David Boreanaz. Right? Yeah. I mean, I think I made my point on that one. But it was just the huge difference, like you just pointed out. You could tell it's clearly a dude or a fucking well-built woman. So when they roll down the stairs and they're just laying there like, wait a second, that's
a bait and switch.
Yeah. And I get it because you want to kind of have some kind of shock factor, especially after Scream, right? Because this is an after Scream. This is 97, 98, 99, 2000. This is 5 years after Scream.
Yep.
So can't do Michael Myers because you set the tone at the beginning of the movie. And then the over-the-top chewing of scenery with the actresses is why I also landed on 2.5 chainsaws.
Okay.
But I looked up the soundtrack, and the soundtrack had Rob Zombie, Marilyn Manson, Linkin Park.
Orgy,
Opticon.
Opticon actually is one of my top three favorite songs.
Yeah.
Of all time.
Yeah, so I was like, oh yeah, I forgot that song was in here. So, like the soundtrack, I would have loved to hear these songs in the movie a little bit more.
Yeah, for sure.
You hear Marilyn, I think that's Marilyn Manson playing when they're in the maze, right?
Yes.
Valentine's.
Yep.
I like that.
You don't hear Opticon until you're at the very final party.
Yeah, and I would like to have heard, was it Super Beast?
Yes.
I would have liked to hear that more, too. I'm not saying blast it and have it overtake it, but I mean, have it more prominent.
Yeah, not just kind of
pushed to the wayside.
Yeah.
That's why I landed on 2.5 chainsaws.
Now, the reason I give it 4 was because it, the first few times I saw it, it really kept me guessing.
Okay.
It was a unique story for me.
Yeah.
I didn't know that this was actually a book first.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up too. I didn't know that either.
And it wasn't until I started looking into the history of the movie.
Yeah.
That I found this out and I was going to buy the book. So,
don't need it.
I already kind of know what's happening.
Yeah.
And I started reading a little bit on it anyway.
Yeah.
That actually sounds quite a bit different than the movie.
Well, normally what happens too is unless they get the author, even when they get the author, they tweak a little bit because they got to take things out.
Yeah.
So then you're taking out a big chunk of it. You got to fucking interweave different quick things happening in the movie.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, overall, I thought the movie was a good solid 4 chainsaws out of 5 for me.
Okay. Cool,
and
man.
You said 2.5?
Yeah.
Perfect.
Hey, cool, man.
I respect that.
Yeah, hell yeah.
So I want to remind all of our listeners of an open invitation to be on Horror After Hours or on Swatting Flies and Telling Lies.
Come on.
Just contact either one of us to set it up. I also have to give a big shout out to all of my friends and loyal listeners from all over Alaska to Washington, Arizona, and wherever you are.
Hello.
I thank you all. We thank you all.
Thank you very much.
And keep listening. Wherever you are, stay safe out there. Have a good night, everyone. I'm the naughty guy, Adam J., and this is Horror After Hours, signing off. Hello, this is the Naughty Guy, Adam J. Keep listening to Horror After Hours with the Naughty Guy, as my friends and I, we discuss some of our favorite movies and some of our favorite novels. Bear Crossing Bed and Breakfast, we have a beautiful view which overlooks downtown Ketchikan. You can find us on the Airbnb app or on Facebook. You can contact us through either of these apps for any information. Skylar's Table offers cafeteria-style dining, fresh soups and salads, and paninis, and all of his meats are roasted fresh daily. If you're looking for great food, great prices, and even better company, come to Skylar's Table, a place for visitors. Podcast Swatting Flies, Telling Lies. If you like a fun, crazy podcast with loads of information that you didn't know you need, give this one a listen. Bruce's show is always a lot of fun. You never know what he's going to say next, and I'm always tuning in to find out. Next, I got Lazy Mountain Brewing Company, located in Palmer, Alaska, owned by Neil and Sarah Gottschall. They're providing quality craft beers with crisp, clean flavor. Look for Lazy Mountain Brewing Company on Facebook. You will also find their beers all around the Anchorage area. They're just good, honest beers. That's, again, Lazy Mountain Brewing Company. Also look for my friend Danny's podcast. That's Hinterlands Media, where he discusses current topics and conspiracies. And also look for his new podcast called Hinterlands Storytime. This should be a lot of fun. This is where he discusses his favorite fantasy, sci-fi novels, movies, and games. This really should be a lot of fun. Danny's a lot of fun, so give both his shows a listen. I know I will. And finally, the Naughty Guy. I finally have a Facebook page. Check it out. Give me a like and a follow to see all of my latest knotwork. You can find my knotwork in a few of the local stores around Ketchikan. You look for Maiden Voyage, Scanlan Gallery, and also the Alaska Outpost. Tell them the naughty guy sent you. Thanks a lot, folks. Keep listening.